Do you wonder if all relationships are as complicated as your own? Do you often say to yourself, it shouldn't be this complicated? Well, according to our guest, it is. Stay tuned as he breaks it down on this edition of Frank Relationships.
You're listening to Frank Relationships with Frank Love.
Frank Love.
Frank Love.
Frank Love.
Frank Love.
Yes, those are my babies. As always, thanks for getting the show started today. Mwah. That's from Daddy. Welcome to Frank Relationships, where we provide a candid, fresh, and frank look into relationships with goals of acceptance, respect, and flexibility. I'm Frank Love, and you can find me, my blog, and my various social media incarnations at franklove.com. Once again, I'm joined by my co-host with the doctorate, Dr. Gail.
What's up, Frank?
Good morning. She's kind of nice to me last week, so I'm pretty clear we're going to have a difficult day today.
You thought last week was good?
I thought you were kind of nice to me last
week.
All
right.
Plus, I think it's that time of the week. She just finished exercising.
Exercise?
This is the time when you
get sounds like a Gene Simmons type thing. Wasn't that his name?
I don't. Richard Simmons.
Richard Simmons. Yes. Exercising. Yes. Sweating to the oldies.
You do your marathons. You got your routine each week.
I mean, but I'll work out. You know, that sounds
Excuse
more.
Me. You work out.
Thanks.
Okay. All right. She just finished working out. All right. Could there be a painful or costly breakup in your future? According to most relationship statistics, the answer is likely yes. But that doesn't have to be the case. In my new and now available book, How to Gracefully Exit a Relationship, I reveal what couples and individuals can do to create a more fulfilling partnership or to end relationships that aren't working in a friendly manner, without suffering the emotional, financial, and family ruin that major breakups can cause. Yep, it's a lot more than a breakup book. How to Gracefully Exit a Relationship guides you through every stage of your romantic partnerships, helping you have the tough, important conversations that most couples avoid. Whether you're beginning a whirlwind romance, seeking to improve your marriage, looking to gracefully separate from your partner, or talking to your teenager about relationships, this is the book for you. Now available at franklove.com, amongst other places. If there's such a thing as a real-life know-it-all, today's guest might be the top candidate. Yeah, another one, Dr. Gail, not just you.
No, you just think that I think I know it all, so that means you think I know it all.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. I'll try to unscramble my brain around that one. He's an accomplished neurosurgeon and attorney. Put them together, and you get a medical malpractice attorney. But that's not it. He's also an award-winning underwater photographer that conducts scientific exploratory expeditions. Say that three times. Yeah. But finally, he's also the author of the book that exposes women to the truth about a male's perception of them and what they think, want, and actually care about in a relationship.
I like how you bolded that.
Would you? Like?
Go ahead.
The book is It Really That Complicated? And our guest is none other than Dr. Charles Rawlins. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure being here.
Good morning, Dr. Rawlins.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
She's
so
trying
it's
to...
that time of the week, huh?
It's that time of the week.
She's trying to butter you up. She said good morning, and she's trying to sound as though she's a nice person.
I am.
And a sweetheart. Be careful, Doc. I've read some of your book. In fact, I've got some things significantly highlighted in here that I think she will start throwing stuff either at you or me about. So don't go for the okie doke.
Well, Dr. Rollins, I enjoyed your most recent interview. That's on your on your website. So hopefully we'll have a pleasant one this
morning. Okay.
Oh, that's excellent.
All right, let's get to it. You say in a relationship, the one who holds the power is the one who cares the least. You, before I even ask, you got something to say, Dr. Gale? You got a response to that?
No, I actually agree.
Okay. All right. Dr. Rollins, what do you have to say? Shine some light on that.
Absolutely. That is one of the cornerstones of most relationships, and that's where some of the power struggles come in and some of the discord. It's people have various desires and wants, and they have various items or activities that they like, and they've imbued with a lot of energy. And their partner, or whatever the case may be, doesn't necessarily feel the same way or have the same energy invested in that particular activity or that particular item. And so they're able to say, look, you know, it's sort of like a trade-off. I don't particularly like that. I don't really care about it. And so for you to be able to do the activity or have the item, you have to convince me to go along with it. And so they play the skeptic or play the reluctant person, and that's where they have the power. The other person has to convince them, has to use energy, financial motivation, or whatever the case may be, to get the other person to agree or to go along with the activity. Thus, the person who cares the least has the most power. In fact, a woman, while I was writing the book and I came up with that particular line, told me that her grandmother always told her, she goes, make sure you involved or marry a man who loves you more than you love him.
Dr. Rollins, I was waiting for a pause because my mama tells me that all the time. I completely agree. It's true. My mama says he has to love you more than you love him. I mean, it's great that you love him, but he has to love you more than you love him.
In order to what?
In order to be successful in the relationship. And I think in order for him to hold his attention in the relationship and continue to want to do things, you know, he has to want you more.
Dr. Rollins, what's your in order to what?
I think she's right. In order to...
Ding, ding, ding.
But also in order to be able to, I hate to use the word, but it's there, manipulate him. Mm. Into doing things.
Ding, ding, ding.
Exactly.
That's Frank's favorite word, Dr.
Oh, okay.
It's one of those things I pay close attention to and how I conduct myself and what I see in others.
In his relationship.
Oh, boy. We're right off to a good start. Mm-hmm. I told you, Doctor. Okay. Are we talking about activities and items? Or are we talking about relationships where the caring is more important, or when not caring is more important?
I think it extends to any of those items. I just use items and activities because people can understand them easier. But it's the same in relationships. Absolutely, it's manipulative, but it's the way the world works, and that's the way you keep your partners interested in certain ways. You know, in the ideal relationship where you're both equal partners and you both have each other's back, it doesn't work so much. But everyone is human, and people have more interest or more emotion towards certain items and towards their person than the other person does. It just works that way.
I don't necessarily agree, and I want to play with this, kick it back and forth with you for a moment. I think we invest in relationships, and if you're in a relationship, I don't care which side of it you're on, if you're, you know, which partner you are, the person who appears to care the least or appears to care the most, somewhere along in there, you're in that relationship because you're getting something out of it. And it's to say that the person who cares the least has the most power, I think the person who appears to care the least can appear to have the most power. But when you really peel back those layers, you might find that the person who appears to be the neediest has a significant amount of power too, once you get to a certain point. If it gets to the conversation about breaking up, or if it gets to the conversation about, hey, I want whatever he or she might want. I'm not so sure that the power play is so cut and dry, or that it's so readily apparent. Sometimes the power can be quiet power.
I would absolutely agree. In fact, there's a portion in my book that talks about that. It's like the needy person. It's where I use a financial example, where in the couple, one of them has sort of abdicated financial mechanics to another person. But if that person screws up the finances, the other person jumps on them immediately and says, look, you're stupid, you did this wrong. And they're like, well, you told me to do it, and so I'm the one that cares the most. But you're absolutely right. Sometimes the neediest person is using it as sort of a passive-aggressive type power play. Mm-hmm. And so there are all sorts of subtleties in there. Mm-hmm. And it's like when you say appears to be, that's all perception.
Yes.
And once you start peeling back the layers and start getting down into sort of the psychodynamics and the baggage that these people are playing with in their relationships, then yeah, you can come up with a whole different set of subtle energy streams or power plays, however you want to talk about it. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But for the most part, when you look at a relationship on its face, the person who cares the least is the one that's doing most of the manipulating of the person who cares the most.
Now let's hear wait, I got two questions. So the piece that you just mentioned, if you look at you may have a crier in a relationship, and the crier could be the person who gets the, you know, we'll call it a woman this time. I'm very clear that the crier doesn't have to be a woman. Dr. Gale, okay, you with me?
I'm with you.
Okay. We'll just say that the crier is a woman in the relationship I'm talking about. So the guy comes home, and let's say he comes home late, and she hates that he comes home late, and she cries on the phone to her friends. But this is a way, that's a power play. That's a way to get attention from him. It's a way to get him to change what he's doing. It's a way to get her friends to sympathize with him. There's power in appearing weak.
Okay, absolutely. But what if he comes in and it totally ignores her crying because he cares a lot less than she does? And so her power is impotent because he cares least.
Right.
He's like, stop crying.
Uh-huh.
You know?
He could care less that she's crying. Who cares?
Exactly.
Right.
Right.
But her friends don't care less.
But it doesn't matter because her friends aren't in the relationship and they don't have any power
Absolutely.
It does matter because she's able to get that attention from her friends. So if she can't
get
it.
But she doesn't care about the attention from her friends. She cares about the attention from him. Like, they're just her sounding board. She could care less about those friends. What she wants is attention from him.
No.
And so, no, really. She wants the attention from him. The friends are just the sounding board. And like her, go girl, you better go. Who cares about that? What she really wants is the attention from him, the caring, the whatever from him. But if he could care less about it, then her whining and crying and complaining are not manipulative strategies because they aren't working. They can only be manipulative strategies if they work.
No, that's not true.
Absolutely. And if they don't work, then she's going to start changing strategies. She's going to start withholding sex or you know, ultimately going out while he's not there. And then the tables will be turned and he comes home and she's not there. He starts crying, and she walks in and says, stop crying. I don't care.
What if she didn't care about her friends, she wouldn't do that. She wouldn't vent to her friends. We do things because we want a result. So even with her friends, the primary result she may want is not so much attention from him, but she wants him to do what she wants him to do.
Right, but her friends have absolutely nothing to do with it. They are so absolute. They
No, if she's whining to them, if she's crying to them, they have a part in the cast.
Okay, Frank, you're wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Frank. I mean, but her friends are secondary. She's
right.
Being secondary.
I agree with that.
Her friends.
Right. Yeah. It's totally secondary game.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there was something else. What else was it, Dr. Gale?
I don't know. I left my crystal ball in the car.
Yeah, I had. All right. What prompted you to write this book?
Oh, well, that's pretty interesting. After I got divorced, I started going out and dating some folks, and I was just astounded at some of the craziness that's out there and some of the ploys and the manipulation and all that. And so I came back and I was discussing this with my friends, who a lot of them are women, and they're like, you know, instead of telling us, go write this thing,
mm-hmm.
go write this book. And actually one weekend I got a group of friends together, you know, four or five of us, and we sat down, and in a couple of hours we came up with all the chapters. And
males
so,
or females?
Mostly females.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, we came up with the chapters, and we had an outline for the book.
Mm-hmm.
So I started writing.
You talk a lot about manipulation, and that's interesting, because so do I. What is manipulation to you?
The use of some power to subtly or not so subtly change the behavior of another person.
Mm-hmm. Now, okay, I give you a dollar because I want you to rake my lawn. Is that manipulative? That's and that dollar
well,
is a power.
No, because
well,
someone
no,
is
that's
gaining.
A contract.
Yeah.
Mm. That's a contract. That's an, that's
the receiver
that's
is gaining
contract.
Something.
Okay.
Exactly.
So, let me see. If I ask you to do something, Dr. Gale, be on time. is that manipulative?
No, I don't think that's manipulative. You're expressing a request. You're expressing a request that the person in this particular instance, your radio partner, be on time for a show.
Okay.
Which, you know, is that sort of business etiquette and probably, you know, just being polite.
Okay. So what about if you don't get home before midnight, I'm not going to have sex with you tonight. Is that manipulative?
That would be
That's
somewhat
manipulative.
Yeah. You're oh. withholding something or you are influencing their action for your benefit based upon a threat to them in a way.
Mm-hmm. And when is it not manipulative? When can you get what you want and not manipulate?
Well, I think there's an element of manipulation in almost everything that's not from a financial contract standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
It's just more open in certain ways.
No.
And I like to add, it kind of seems like when you don't have, when in your example, Frank, when there is no secondary gain, I would think it's not manipulation. You know what I mean? Like, you withholding sex, if I don't get home by midnight, that is, you're also gaining something. Like, you want the person to be there by midnight, so you're going to gain something by being manipulative.
What do I gain?
You gain them being home by midnight.
If they do it. Okay.
Right.
If they do it. All right, well, I'll throw in a twist.
All right.
Your scenario, if you're not home by midnight, I won't have sex with you. What if the guy says or the woman says, okay, if I'm not home by midnight, I'll pay you $100 to have sex with me.
Oh, wow.
Is
that manipulative? Or is that just compensating the person for being late?
Well, that's a compromise.
That is not a compromise.
Yeah. Sure it is.
What the hell kind of compromise you got going on, right? That is not a compromise.
If this, then that. Okay, well, what about this? If I do come in after midnight, will you have sex with me if I give you $100? That's a negotiation.
Okay, now I'll throw another twist in here that's even more interesting, because this is what happens all the time in marriages and relationships. Okay, honey, I know you've told me that you won't have sex with me if I'm later than midnight. I'm really sorry. I'm later than midnight. Here's a dozen roses. And she has sex with him. Is that any different than paying her $100?
No.
I don't think so either. That's the chapter of the title of one of my chapters.
Mm-hmm. So if we look at, okay, we switch gears on manipulation a little bit. My concept of manipulation is wanting something and being unwilling to state what it is you want. So working towards getting something but being unwilling to make it clear to whoever you're talking to that you want that thing. So you're actually acting like you want something else. So in the example given about sex, she really wants, or he, whatever, really wants the partner to be home by midnight. And because they want to interact. She or he, we'll say she for this example. She wants to...
Can you say he? She cried in the last scenario. Can you say he, please?
All right.
Jesus.
Okay. All right.
So he's going to withhold
sex. He's whining because she's out with her girlfriends, and he's whining.
All right. So he is upset or whining or crying. He's the crier today.
And then she's going to leave him because he's a crier.
Exactly. And he's going to withhold sex because she's not there before midnight.
All right. Stick with the example, guys.
No. Why don't you just say, okay, I won't go down on you. How's that?
Okay. Oh, boy. Dr. I see we got a couple live ones in the studio today.
You have dropped the F-bomb and said it went down in, within 15 minutes.
All righty. So he is upset that she is not. He wants her to be home. Now, mind you. People don't just want our partners to be home. We want to interact with them, or we want to know that they're not out with somebody else, or whatever the case may be. But wanting them to be home on the surface is not what I see is what we really want. So if he's saying he wants her home by midnight, it's not really that he's after. He was after that other thing. And if he's not willing to say what that other thing is, yes, I think he's being manipulative. However,
or he just might not know how to communicate effectively. Why does it have to be manipulation?
Well, we often manipulate when we don't know how to communicate effectively.
I agree with you. He may be a poor communicator, but also there's a third reason. He just may be a power play. He just may want her home because he wants her home, and it's a power play.
Well, he wants her home for what? It's not just he wants her home. He wants her home because he wants to know
where she is.
Yeah, he wants her where he can control her. He doesn't feel like he can control her if she's out.
Power play.
But it's about the control. It is a power play. I give it that, but it's still manipulative.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. All right.
Move on.
The psychodynamic horrors. What in the world is that?
Right, what is that? Because I've never heard of that.
I could see how you could call me and Dr. Gale's relationship a psychodynamic horror, even though I don't know what it is.
Even though you have no clue what psychodynamic means.
No, but I do know horror. That rings true. I get that part. Okay, Doc.
It is referring primarily to the psychic traumas and the baggage that people bring into a relationship that turns it into a group of psychodynamic horrors, because each person has had some sort of psychic trauma that they haven't dealt with or are bringing baggage into the relationship, and they expect their partner to fix it. Their partner can't fix it. The person can't communicate. It's all those different strains. It's just the psychodynamic horrors of a relationship. Just like what you were talking about a minute ago, the man may want his woman home, and there's all sorts of reasons why, but he can't communicate that to her. He can't communicate effectively. Whereas if he looked down into himself and said, you know, I have a fear of abandonment. My mom left and didn't come back until 10 at night every night, and I was alone and scared. Mm-hmm. If he recognized that, then he could talk to his partner and say, look, I appreciate that you work late, but, you know, it really, I'm really upset if you don't come in because this is what happened to me as a child.
Mm-hmm.
He may not recognize it. He may not know it. He may not be able to communicate it. He may not know what he's doing.
Yeah.
And that's part of the psychodynamic horrors because he just doesn't know.
So are we saying psychodynamic literally meaning like unconsciously knowing or like from childhood or infancy, those types of things that you said, baggage, so you bring it into the present and the partner isn't aware of it because it's unconscious?
I think it's both unconscious, subconscious, and conscious. I think that these psychodynamic horrors range all the way from childhood traumas up to some sort of a trauma in the last relationship. Something happened in the relationship and the person was hurt. You know, you hear all the time, I'm hurt, I'm now hiding, I'm in my shell, I don't want to get hurt again, that sort of stuff. And so that flavors your entire interaction with the other person. So it ranges all the way from subconscious, unconscious, to your conscious, absolutely.
Okay.
We're discussing relationships. Let's discuss nutrition, too. Having trouble getting in your daily dosage of fruits and vegetables? Well, I strongly suggest you trying All Day Energy Greens, a weight loss and dietary supplement all in one. Many of us don't make the time to eat, and if you, like me, fit this profile, All Day Energy Greens can help you by providing a full day's worth of veggies in one spoonful. And you can try it at no risk. If you're not 100% delighted with your results, just send the canister back for a full and prompt refund. No questions asked. You can even return an empty canister for a full refund. Check it out at alldayenergygreens.com or give them a call at 800-218-1379. That's 800-218-1379 for more energy and fewer inches. You're listening to Frank Relationships. We're talking with Dr. Charles Rawlings, neurosurgeon, lawyer, and author of It Really Is That Complicated. Excuse me. It's not that complicated, is it, Doc? It's not where I should be messing up the title. Dr. Rawlings' book explores the complexities of men and women and offers a real take on what relationships have to offer us. Dr. Rawlings, how can your listeners find you and your book?
Well, it's pretty easy. The book you can find at Barnes & Noble. It's on Amazon. There's a Kindle version, a softback, a hardback. They can go to my various websites. There's a website, itreallyisthatcomplicatedbook.com. They can go to my website, charlesrawlings.com, order it directly from me. They can order it directly from the publishing house, Author House, which is a division of Penguin Publishing. There are all sorts of ways they can reach me.
All right.
Okay, Dr. Rawlings.
Yes, ma'am.
On your most recent interview, you stated that if you had the information you had now, you felt like maybe possibly you and your ex-wife would still be together. You still feel that way?
Oh, let's hear it. I don't feel that way at all.
That's an excellent question. I like that. It's a possibility, yes. Just because we might have been able to work out some of our differences, although I somehow doubt it. But it's a possibility, yes.
Okay.
I would admit that.
Okay, well, okay. So with that said, what is it, and I assume that the book is about, since you state the truth about a male's perspective that women should know, do you think that, whose fault is it? Is it the women's fault? Is it the male's fault? What is it that men don't know about women and vice versa? How can we come together to create a better relationship?
Well, whose fault is it that what happens?
The demise of relationships. Is
okay.
It, yeah, just in general.
Whose fault is it that they break up, that relationships end? Okay.
Yeah, I don't think, to answer your question, honestly, I don't think there's a broad stroke answer in terms of it's always the male's fault or it's always the female's fault.
Mm-hmm.
It's a person's fault. And I think the main problem is communication, mm-hmm. and not knowing yourself, not being honest with the other person, not being able to communicate what you need, not being able to communicate and give the other person what they need. And if you are honest with yourself and you know yourself and you can effectively communicate with the other person and you both are partners, then the relationship is based on very solid ground. And any real difficulties that come up, you can sit down with your partner and discuss it and communicate with each other and trust each other.
Dr. Gale, do you think that is there information you have gained over the last few years since your divorce that has you ever think that if you would have known this, then you would still be married?
I would never still be married to that person.
That's
I probably would have never gotten married to that person if I had the information I have now.
Well, what's the information that changed?
That's a good question, Dr. Wallace.
She said that's a good question, Dr. Rawlins. But Dr. Rawlins, I'm gonna pause this because I deserve some credit there too. Because his question was an offshoot of what I
you
said.
You just want me to give you some props?
Give me props.
For what? I forgot.
I forgot what I should give you props for. It was me that asked you about. Knowing what you know now, would you still be married? And then he asked a spinoff question.
But his question was so more relevant than yours. Like, yours is just like, would you still be there? Hell no. But, like, did the information change? That's a good question. So the information did not... the information... yours was like a surface question. His was, you know, deeper. Why? Because he's a neurosurgeon.
Do you see what I have to deal with here? This is absolute abuse. Is that? Can I get away with it? I can't really.
No, you can't get away with that.
Not even me. Not even right. When I'm playing. All right. Whoever was talking, please continue.
And I think that's questions that people need to ask themselves, Dr. Wallace. Did the information change? So the information did not change. It's just that I have more information and maybe I didn't know the questions to ask or the information. Maybe I blocked it or for whatever defenses I put up didn't access the information. The information never changed. I just didn't access the information. That's the answer.
So
that's fair enough. So did you learn more about yourself?
I did. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Give us something. Like what? What did you learn about yourself?
That's a broad question. You have to come back to me.
Okay. All right. Just diss the host. Is that what we're doing today? Doc, what
it's all love, Frank. It's all love.
What would you say give me a positive take home from your book? What do you want people to know?
Oh, well, the positive take home is in the last chapter or so. It's that if you were able to know yourself and have no fear, since there really is nothing to fear around you, and can communicate with folks effectively, especially the person in your relationship, then you will build a solid relationship. But you have to know yourself, and you have to have no fear. And push your boundaries, learn about yourself, be honest with yourself, and that way you will be able to have much better relationships in almost anything you do.
I agree. And this by no means is promoting the OWN Network or Oprah. However, these past 2 weekends, she's had on her Super Soul Sunday, she's had the topic of vulnerability. And that kind of, it's a spinoff of what you just stated, Dr. Rollins, in that people are afraid to be vulnerable because they, one, are fearful of what the other person may say. And they have built up these defenses and these defense mechanisms that have, in their opinion, helped them over the years, but really it hasn't helped them, you know? So it's like, how do you become vulnerable to this other person, this relationship that you're trying to build? So the person, I forget her name, she's Dr. someone. She stated that
She really made an impact.
But
on
she
you,
did.
Right?
I just don't remember. I can't recall her name. At any rate, she stated that, you know, putting your status about your feelings on Facebook is not being vulnerable. Being vulnerable to being vulnerable to your partner is stating your fears, your defenses, your, you know, even if it's crazy and it sounds, you know, insane, this is still what I want to do and where I want this relationship to go. Despite how you feel like the other person may react. So that's like me saying, Frank, you know, I really love you. We're in love. Let's move forward into a relationship without being afraid that you're going to say, really, Dr. Gill, I'm not feeling you like that. Mm. You know what I mean?
No comment. All right. I'm not here. Let's close the show. Here, run the song.
That's how you really probably react to women pour their hearts out to you, and you're like, let's keep it moving.
Doc, what is knowing yourself? Please wait. What is that? What does that mean? It's you hear it a lot. I might even say it. What does it mean?
It means that you recognize your own faults, you recognize your strengths, you recognize why you act certain ways, why you are passive-aggressive in certain areas, why you can't communicate in certain areas, why you feel some emotions in certain areas. You have to be able to pinpoint your feelings and your reactions to those feelings and stop them if they're becoming I wouldn't say dangerous but unhealthy. It's like we were talking about a few minutes ago, the guy who's trying to control his wife or girlfriend by saying you've got to be home. Mm-hmm. And there's probably something deep or shallow mm-hmm. that he's not recognizing in himself and not being comfortable with the fact that his wife or girlfriend may be just out working hard. But he sees that as some sort of a threat, and he can't communicate that effectively because he doesn't see that in himself.
There's one thing I think you left out that's appropriate to add, and that's recognizing what you want. So knowing yourself has to do with being clear about what it is you want also. No matter what the response of your partner or other people are going to be, whether it's politically correct or not, all of that good stuff. But that
absolutely,
yeah,
and being able to verbalize it, like not just knowing what you want. So I can't know what I want but not tell you or, you know, the other person in the relationship, but knowing what you want and then being able to I don't want to say confront because that sounds like you're ready to fight, but you know, ready to have a sit down conversation stating the I want this and this, and whether you think that the other person is going to walk away or accept it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and you've got to be honest with yourself, and you can't have any fear about that other person's reaction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You've got to say, this is what I need, and I dislike the word need or should, but it's like I feel like I need to be more emotional with you or more intimate with you, or we need to spend more time together. And you have to be able to, you're right, see that in yourself, and more importantly, effectively communicate that with your partner. Absolutely.
What comes to mind as something that you have been, that you've caught flack from, that people may feel is more controversial? I like a little controversy every once in a while. You got something on that?
Well, I mean, it's pretty obvious when you look at the title of my chapters. The most controversial one is that, well, there are two. All women want what they can't have, and then all women are prostitutes.
Oh, and, let's go. All right. All women are prostitutes. Let's hear it.
and that's very controversial. And, in fact, some of my friends, female friends, are like, and a couple of them were escorts themselves, they're like, that
wow.
chapter is really going to polarize people, believe me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true. But when you read through the chapter, what I'm getting at is more of a power play. It's more of manipulation, both by men and women. Women more traditionally because they have, you know, they have the sex that they can withhold. But it's like we were using the example just a few minutes ago about coming in, you know, no sex if you come in later than midnight. Okay, what if I pay you $100 to have sex? Then it becomes possibly okay.
Mm-hmm.
Or it converts into here are red roses or here's a Tiffany diamond ring or whatever the case may be. So you're exchanging sex for some sort of an object.
What's the story with withholding sex? I've heard many stories about that, and I can't really say I've ever seen that experience. You know, I was married 10 years the first time.
They always laid it down for you,
right? It's just not been.
No,
I have
woman
not,
has ever withheld sex from me because I'm just like that.
I
how narcissistic is that?
That is not narcissistic.
Narcissistic was the word that passed through my mind.
It was, but the thing is, it's just not been my experience. That's all I'm saying. It hasn't been my experience, and my experience is women like sex as much as men. We often are not willing to put it in a woman's face like that or say it, but that's been my experience, and I'm not saying that. I'm not trying to create a headline. It's just my experience. Do you like sex, Dr. Gale?
Don't try and, you know, don't just go with what you were saying.
Okay, all right. So I do. I mean, you know, it's not. What can
don't
I say?
Don't pull me into your narcissism. Just go ahead with what you were saying.
Okay. What do you think, Dr. Rawlins? I mean, is there anything to what I just said?
I forgot your main point. What was it? What was your primary
question? I asked him the question. You don't need to remember.
The main point when he was telling us about how no woman has ever, like, withheld sex from him.
Okay. What's the deal with withholding sex?
Right, exactly.
Well, the
I think there's. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Dr. Rawlins.
Yes, Dr. Rawlins.
Okay, I was going to say there is a fundamental difference between men and women from a sexual standpoint. Males, you know, unless they're on drugs or have some physical problem, men are easy. 52 strokes, 57 strokes, it doesn't matter if it's with their hand, a doll, or a watermelon. it's gonna happen. Okay?
A watermelon?
Women.
It is juicy. And what? Yeah, the watermelon.
Women are totally different. They, from a physiological standpoint, from an anatomical standpoint, they're totally different than men. It's a lot of it is mental. Mm-hmm. And they see it also as a power play. A good friend of mine, and I use this analogy in the book, looked at me and she said, you know, at their most complicated, men, from a sexual standpoint, are microwave ovens. Most women, however, are like the cockpit of an F-16 fighter jet. And you have to know exactly what levers to push and when and how and all that sort of stuff before they enjoy sex. And sure, the act, they can do it. It's, you know, my friends tell me, yeah, oh, sure. It's a natural act, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we're enjoying it while we're doing it. And if you look at the statistics, 28% of all women have never had an orgasm, and 78% cannot achieve orgasm through intercourse.
Mm-hmm.
So you tell me that women like it? Not necessarily. Not like males.
I'm not there. I guess
you
again,
are just Jeff, the cream of the crop.
You got anything? Jeff is not going. Jeff is the man.
Jeff is happily married.
Behind the
he
board,
is like chilling, I'll, not trying help, to allow you to bring.
Help me out,
to
Jeff.
You to
what
bring
are your thoughts?
I'll mention one thing. Regardless of enjoyment, sex as a weapon, Doctor. How about afterwards, coming back and saying, see what I did for you, now what can you do for me? So using it sort of as not an ultimatum, but an after the fact kind of thing.
From the woman's part.
From the woman's point.
But would that really work, though?
Oh, just let him answer.
that's an interesting twist. That's much more of an open power play there. It's not so much manipulative. It's more, this is what I did for you, and now what are you going to do for me? I've never really seen that, but I think that's an interesting twist.
Look what I did last night. That'll never happen again unless you do this.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and that's the implied threat. This is what you can have, but it's not going to happen again, you know, if you don't do this. And that's an implied threat. And it's a very open power issue. I think that's interesting.
Yeah, but I just don't think I would do that.
You don't think you would. It's not that you wouldn't. You don't think you would. You're not sure.
Have you ever done it before?
I've never done it before, and that's what I'm saying. I don't think I would, because if we're talking about power, and I have to admit, I do like a little power.
I'm impressed. You went there. All right.
Yeah. I don't think that, you know, that would kind of, in my head, make me feel like I'm losing power if I went ahead and did whatever. And then said, hey, I did that. Now what? Because I think the other person could be like, well, hell, it was good, but.
What if he wasn't like it was good?
Yeah, but there's a watermelon next to it. Yeah.
Oh, boy. Dr. Rollins, you got you time enough for us. You're listening to Frank Relationships, and we're talking with Dr. Charles Rollins, neurosurgeon, lawyer, and author of It Really Is That Complicated. Dr. Rollins, tell us again how we can find you and your book.
My book can be found on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. My websites are itreallyisthatcomplicatedbook.com, charlesrollins.com. You can order it from the publisher directly, Author House, which is a division of Penguin. Or you can order it through the websites by contacting me or through the online Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Why are women attracted to the bad boy type?
Primarily because it's a challenge. The nice guys are seen as sort of dull and boring, and while they give you security, women really don't necessarily want security until it's too late. They want to be challenged. They're actually somewhat of a masochistic breed.
What, Doc? You gonna let that slide? You've been mighty nice to him. You come on. That's a jab.
Dr. Rollins, I have two questions. What is too late? When is it too late?
When is it too late? It's like a guy that has been showing them attention. That's a nice guy. He's been texting them flowers, you know, decent dates, and she's been sort of ignoring him or not responding to what he's been talking about, and he just gets frustrated and goes away. And then she realizes, wow, I really did like, you know, going out to dinner with him. He was fun, but now he's not around, so I can't get hold of him. That's what I mean when it's too late.
Okay. I didn't know if you meant, like, an age frame.
I've never gone with the age thing.
That's all you're going to say? He said something that was...
I mean, it's kind of true. I remember back in the day, way, way back in the day when Tyra Banks' show was on, and she had these guys up there. And so they were so-called good guys, but I think they were pushovers. But, like, they were stating that... So you know what type of guy... But they were pushovers because the one guy was like, women want a Jay-Z that went to Harvard, and that doesn't exist. You know what I mean?
So, you... Yeah,
go ahead, Dr. Rollins.
No, I was going to say, that brings up to mind a female friend of mine just the other day was talking about this thing called a manicorn. It's sort of a unicorn. It's the male of myth that's out there that will give a woman everything she wants, and it's just that. It's a manicorn. It's a myth. It doesn't exist.
To kind of piggyback, because since Frank wants me to say something so badly, I get it. Dr. Rollins, last week, Frank shut me down so badly, I almost left. But now he's giving me the green light, so I need to talk when I can talk. So, now, I think that women that have so-called power or that are in, what's the word I'm looking for? Professional women, maybe. They are typically the women that do want a counterpart or a partner who is also of equal power, or that can kind of, you know, be that bad boy type image that can, you know, tell them, because they're so busy at work all day long in control and power, you know, leading in leadership positions, telling other people what to do, that at home you kind of don't want that. You kind of want someone that can
what Yeah, say it.
Kind of display that power, and but that doesn't.
But not piss you off.
Right.
All
right.
So you want.
You want someone that can challenge you. You know what I mean?
So, Doc, I'm talking to you, Dr. Gale.
Okay.
You want power over a man that's powerful. Because you said you got your power thing. You do like a little power.
I do like a little power.
Uh-huh.
But I don't want someone that I can walk over.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, I'm like, really? You're going to let me say that or do that? Or that's not attractive. You know? So...
you gonna let me get away with
you
this?
You do want a good, women do want the good guy. They do want someone that's gonna bring them flowers and you know text them all day long. But they also don't want someone that's good, that they can walk over.
Well, why not just why not walk over him? If you don't want to walk over a guy, whether he's a good guy or a bad guy, why not walk around him? You wanna find out if he's gonna let you walk over him? Is that the thing? Yes. Oh, whoa. We shut her up that quick. Oh, God.
No, I was thinking. You got something to say? Shut me up, Frank.
Yeah.
I was thinking. Dr.
Rollins, you got anything you want to say about that?
I'm just listening to this exchange. I think she's pointing out some of the truisms in my book. She's looking for a manicorn. She wants some guy who texts her and gives her flowers, but is on the same level in terms of her power. And that's very difficult to find because she's professional. There are plenty of professional men out there, but they're not necessarily, they haven't gotten into their positions of power by being pushovers and sending people flour and texting people. They've gotten in their positions of power by power plays and land grabs and all that sort of stuff and worked up through the professional ranks, just like she did.
And you know what? I'm sorry, Dr. Rollins. Go ahead. I thought you were done.
No, and I was going to say, they're not necessarily going to be the ones showing you all this romanticism or affection, because they're going to be just as hard-nosed as you are.
And they also don't want someone equal to them. They want a pushover. They want someone. They don't want someone that's going to challenge them.
Who's they?
Those men. They don't. Like, those men, your counterparts are, you know...
In some instances, you're absolutely correct. But in other instances, these men are actually looking for someone who will challenge them, who will hold their own with them. I think it's a minority, but I think it's a large minority.
I think it's a minority. like a real minority.
I want to hear, you've had an opportunity to think, Dr. Gale. I would like to hear your response, too. And you don't want a guy to walk that you can just walk over. And when I said, well, why not just walk around them?
What do you mean by walk around them? Because that's boring, too.
Well, so that's the answer. It's boring. It's boring to just walk around them. You want a little conflict. You want a little
not
give
conflict,
and take.
Not conflict, but something that's definitely going to challenge me. I don't think anyone in a professional...
Conflicts are... I can't... There's conflict in any challenge.
Maybe.
All right.
I'll say maybe. However...
Okay, don't give me too many props.
And I'm not, you know, I'm not speaking for all women. So I'm just saying, for me, that's boring. I like a challenge. I like something that's different. I like, you know, I'm in a profession that changes and challenges me every day. So I wouldn't want a relationship that's going to, when I come home, it's just going to be the same dry, boring, same thing we did yesterday, day after day. That's boring. Who wants that?
Okay. All right. Why are relationships really that complicated? Let's bring it home.
Oh, and wait, before you answer that, Dr. Rollins, you did state that, I think you said this, a lot of reasons why people break up or they divorce is because they get bored, right?
Absolutely.
So that kind of validates my answer too, Frank, because who wants a boring, humdrum relationship that's dry?
that's real. I wouldn't want a boring co-host, and I appreciate you. I must say that.
Wow, you're... Man, we need to play that back. That needs to be on the intro. I appreciate you.
It's buried near the end of today's show where it belongs.
Well, see, he's acknowledging what he needs. He needs a good, feisty co-host. So mm-hmm. he has to appreciate you.
Yeah. See, so Frank, you need someone that challenges you as well. Come on.
I enjoy the challenge. I actually do. And I'll tell anybody that. I enjoy good back and forth, good banter. That's important to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, that's why we have this show. That's why we have good guests.
That was our moment. We had a moment.
do not get weepy.
Okay.
I'm still a woman, Dr. Rawley. And that's why it's not easy, right? That's why you had to write your book.
So, Doc, why are relationships really that complicated?
I think this entire show has shown that. bad communication skills, manipulation, sexual differences, not understanding yourself, not necessarily liking yourself, not being able to communicate what you need in your life, et cetera, et cetera. Relationships are really that complicated for all sorts of reasons.
Do you have children?
Yes, I do.
Are you, at some point, I guess you've resigned yourself to them having relationships someday. Does that scare you?
No, my daughter is 16, and she's had one before, recently, and it was an interesting relationship, and it was fine with me. Mm-hmm. So, and my two boys, they're 13, they're twins.
Okay.
Aww, I want twins. Sorry.
No, you don't.
No. No, I want it one shot and done, Dr. Ross.
Does that mean you want two children?
Well, no, I'm just saying, if I had to have two, I would want to do it in that one chance, because I only want to get pregnant once. I don't want to, like, that's just a burden. Who wants to do that twice? Sorry.
Someone who wants two children.
You may love it so much.
I'm projecting all my, projecting all my blockage just for motherhood.
Yeah, you only have one. How you know you won't like being pregnant?
Yeah,
because I want to get back to working out.
Well, you can work out while you're pregnant.
Yes, up until what, the 8th month or something like that, if you're conditioned.
Yeah, 7th or 8th month. Yeah.
Says the two men that don't have to carry children.
Says the two men with 8 children between us.
Oh, wow.
Well, I mean, you would think we know a little bit more about it than you do.
You probably don't. Go ahead, Dr. Rollins.
What's he going ahead? You didn't ask him anything.
No,
you just want to switch the subject.
He was answering your question. I rudely interrupted him.
Yeah, my two boys are 13, and they are developing interest in girls. And so I'm trying to teach them what a gentleman does to respect women.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. And what is that?
Be polite and respectful of them. Mm-hmm. And you know, like I said, know yourself and don't be afraid of them. Just treat them like everyday people and not these strange female things that you think they are.
And what's your message to your daughter?
And too, Dr. Hollis, so I'm listening to this book. I was listening to my book on the way here from my book club. So the woman was saying...
What's the name of the book?
The name of the book is Gone Girl. It's a thriller. I love it. It's really good. It's suspenseful. At any rate, she staged her disappearance or her death to stage it to seem like her husband killed her. Mm-hmm. So good. Uh-huh. However, she was reflecting back to when they first met, and she was stating that, you know, she was pretending to be the fun girl and the girl that, you know, all guys want. And if you think that the guy doesn't want the fun girl, you're lying to yourself. And the fun girl is the one who goes to bars and she drinks and she doesn't care about, you know, how many calories are in whatever and eats these salty fried foods and doesn't care if he doesn't come to hang out with her friends. That's the fun girl, like has, you know, these different crazy sexual positions. Those are the fun girls. And she said that she lied to her husband because that's not who she really is. Like, mm-hmm. She really wants someone. And she also lied to herself because she was like, you know, she lied to herself saying that she didn't want someone that was going to hold her at night and hold her after sex and talk to her about, have these great literary, you know, debates and hang out with her friends and stuff like that. So, you know, I don't know why I said that, but it triggered me to think about like how she lied, or how she lied to her husband, and 5 years in, she's staging her death, you know, or...
Because what's she trying to accomplish?
Well,
yeah, it seems sort of radical to me.
Yeah.
She was trying to, well, he also fronted and lied too of who he really was. So they both lied. They both presented these false senses of themselves and these false perceptions of themselves. And 5 years in, they hated each other.
Mm-hmm. So she figures if she stages her death and makes it seem like he did it, he'll go to jail. And she'll...
Well, she's thinking that if she staged it, he'll somehow accept and love who she really is.
Whoa. All right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why didn't she just get a divorce?
Right.
Well, would that be fun?
Or put the book down. Stop reading the book.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
It's a psychological thriller. It's really good. Go figure. That's what
psychodynamic horror. Yeah.
Exactly.
You might want to put that one down, Dr. Gale.
Well, it's for my book club, so
you're forced to read it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And how's the book club thing going?
It's great.
You enjoy that?
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yes.
All women.
Yes, I love to read. It's all women, and you know, we talk about the book plus everything else.
I bet you do. How many women?
8.
Uh huh. All right.
And you have no male influence at all?
None.
No male energy in there at all?
None. Wow. 8 women just going
Frank,
at it.
Would you read a psychological thriller about what I just described? No.
I would read it up until the point with what you just told me, and I would put that down because it does not sound like an interesting book. There was a movie, Double Jeopardy, I think it was called. Years ago, Doc, just hang with us because we're certainly not on topic right now. But
I'm listening.
There was a movie called Double Jeopardy. I think it was Ashley Judd was in it. And her husband staged his death and she went to jail. And she found out once she got out, he assumed another identity and continued his life. She found out he was still alive. And she had already gone to jail, so she couldn't, if she killed him, she couldn't go to jail.
Yeah, she couldn't
be charged again. Yeah. So, all right, but that sounded like it made more sense than the story you just mentioned, because I didn't really get the point.
Okay. Well, I'm not done, Frank.
All right, how far are you in the book?
I just got to part 2. It's a really big book.
Would that be halfway, or? See, we got it.
It's 3 parts.
Okay. Yeah, we'll call it a third. All right. You're listening to Frank Relationships, and we've been talking with Dr. Charles Rawlings, neurosurgeon, lawyer, and author of It Really Is That Complicated, a book that explores the complexities of men and women and offers a real take on what relationships have to offer us. Along today's journey, we've discussed somehow narcissism, and somehow you guys tried to tie that
somehow
to me.
Somehow?
Yes. I was just telling you what the experience
that
had been.
That you never had a woman turn you down from sex?
That wasn't what I said. I
Ever.
Said withhold. There's a difference between turn you down and withhold. Okay, good. Now, I like that answer. Good. Good response. We discuss knowing yourself, and we also discuss the famous power play between men and women, particularly between Dr. Gale and men. I hope you've had as much fun as I've had discussing the relationship complications that Dr. Rawlings has written about. As always, it's my wish for you to walk away from this conversation with a heaping helping of useful information that'll help you create a relationship that's as loving and accepting as possible. Let us know what you thought of today's show at Facebook.com/RelationshipFLove, on Twitter at Mr. That's MR Frank Love, or at franklove.com. On behalf of my producer, Felita Leggett, my assistant producer, Niza Stewart, and the man on the boards, Jeff Newman, keep rising. This is Frank Love.